We present Down Under, written and read by Nigel Banks.
It's cozy and peaceful down here, under the bed. I always come here whenever I feel scared or stressed. Get me pillow, eiderdown, and me torch, so I can read me comic. Not forgetting Dan, of course. Won't be without him. His fur's a bit mangy, and he's lost one of his eyes, but he's still my faithful teddy bear. He never lets me down, unlike some I could mention. We're all snug here then, down under. The house is quiet. I switched the torch off to save the battery, so I'm lying in the dark with Dan beside me, waiting. I look at me watch. It's got luminous hands so I can tell the time even in the dark. Only 9:45. He won't be back from the pub for another hour at least, so I must try to stay awake, even though I'm dog tired. That must have been difficult for you. Her voice is always so calm and soothing. I've been coming here for over 3 months now. It's really helped me. But as Christine says, there's no quick fix when dealing with the human mind. I remember my first appointment with her. I was so nervous. Didn't know what to expect. And then, of course, there was her appearance. The disfigurement, with half her face eaten away by cancer and having to wear that prosthesis. But she's such an amazing person, you soon forget all that. Look beyond it and see her beauty, her inner beauty. She helps people like me with damaged minds and runs a charity that supports others who suffered like her. She's not bitter. She's used to people staring at her in the street or turning away in shops. I was the same that first time we met. Didn't know where to look. What helped me was that she's only got one eye, so it reminded me of Dan. Christine's like a grown-up teddy bear for me now. Always there for me. Never lets me down. He stumbles home at 11:15. I was just drifting off when I heard the front door slam. He's in a bad mood tonight. I recognise the signs. He starts in on her straight away with his needling insults on his paranoia. Then the sound of breaking glass and crockery. She cries out, and I know he's hit her. I hold Dan tighter in my arms. I try to blank out the noise by going into my favourite fantasy. We go downstairs together, me and Dan. He's grown now, in my fantasy, like a real bear, and he can speak. He's got Arnold's voice. He's the Teddinator. He orders him to leave her alone. He's so awestruck by Dan's size and menace that he sinks to his knees, trembling and shaking with fear. Dan fixes him with his one eye and points his massive paw at him and says, "I'll be back." Then we turn and go back upstairs. I'm roused from my fantasy by the sound of his stumbling footfall on the stairs. Now it's my turn. Christine hands me the box of tissue so I can blow my nose and wipe away the tears. She probably needs to buy them in bulk, I find myself thinking. I blow hard, as if to expel the sense memory of his coarse hands and the stink of his beer breath. "You've done so well this session," she reassures me. "It will get easier, I promise you. Our time's nearly up, so give me a hug. I'll see you the same time next week." As I get to the door, she calls out, "Wait, I almost forgot. I have something for you, a present. I was having a clear out last weekend and found this." She hands me a plastic bag. "Used to belong to my daughter. She's grown up now. I thought you might be able to find a use for him." I peeked inside the bag and saw the bear, complete with two eyes and a full head of fur. You'll never believe what my daughter called him when we bought him for her. Her face was wreathed in a broad smile. What? Arnold. I couldn't resist it.
I'll be back, I said, in my best Schwarzenegger voice.